Roundtable Podcasts, underwritten by Proctors, the Capital Region's premier performing arts center featuring the best in entertainment from Broadway and around the globe. Proctors.org.
We check in once again this week to look at what's happening in the public humanities. It's our Ideas Matter segment, and it's our chance to check in with the Humanities Councils throughout our seven-state area to discuss important ideas and why the humanities do indeed matter. Today we'll learn about Frederick Waugh Olmsted, Designing America, a new film by Larry Hott that was funded in part by Mass Humanities. We're joined by the filmmaker Larry Hott and by Haley Wood, Senior Program Officer at Mass Humanities. Thank you both for being here. I appreciate it.
Thanks for having us.
You're welcome. Nice to be here.
So let us begin with you, Haley, of how this project came to be, and then we'll get into the nuts and bolts with Larry.
Well, I think it was about 2 years ago when Larry, through the WNED television station in Buffalo, got in touch with us to apply for a pre-production grant for this film. And you might be aware that these things take years to complete, and this was sort of the beginning stages of research and the preparation of a trailer and the contacting of scholars to be involved in the film. And we've worked with Larry on supporting films of his in the past, and this was just a ripe, wonderful topic for exploration and just great humanities content.
So where are we now? It's done?
Yeah, it's done. It premieres in Northampton at the Academy of Music this Sunday afternoon at 4 p.m.
Excellent. So we'll get more into that in a moment and talk about the event happening on Sunday. But let us talk to Larry about, in beginning this project, what's step number one? What were you looking to do?
Well, we were looking to create a biography of a man who really had a major impact on American society and tie that in with the landscapes that he affected. One thing that's an advantage when you're doing a documentary film is you have somebody who has an interesting life, who was born and records were kept of his life, and then one hopes there's some images, and then when he dies, he's left a legacy. That's the perfect recipe for a documentary film. And Olmsted did all those things, and what he did was very visual, so it's perfect for a film. But what also what he did was he had such an influence on the way our world looks. It's not only our parks, but it's our college campuses. It's he even did the Chicago World's Fair. His legacy is so broad. He could state it in numbers. In his lifetime, he was involved with 3,000 projects, and then he died in 1903, and his firm continued to 1979, and there were another 3,000 projects all over the United States.
And when you look at those projects, there is a great deal of variety, isn't there?
Yes, but you know, the most important thing about Olmsted is not actually the projects, but it's the philosophy he brought to them. Olmsted was a reformer before he was a landscape architect. And what I mean by that is he had democratic ideals. He actually was pretty well known before he ever had anything to do with Central Park. His most famous adventure was being what we've referred to as a foreign correspondent for the New York Times, and the New York Times was just getting started out. He was a foreign correspondent in the South, and he was sent down there to take a look at slavery. And when he started this project, he was kind of a reluctant abolitionist. But by the time he was done writing about the South, he was actually shipping arms out to the Free Kansas Movement and sending them guerrilla war manuals. He then got involved in founding the Nation magazine and was really kind of a political radical in a way. And he brought that sensibility to the idea of public spaces. He wanted parks to be open for everyone, and not just so that they could, you know, get it, that anybody could use a park, but that he felt that the kind of spaces he created, his aesthetic ideals, would affect people in a positive way and affect them in a way that would make them more democratic.
And you look at the breadth of his work, and I think it is fascinating to look at the projects. But so give us an idea about his development. So when he starts out, what is his bent that leads to the work that comes later on?
You know, I think a lot of parents who are worried about their children can take heart from what happened with Frederick Law Olmsted, because he really did not know what he was doing as a kid. He didn't finish school because he had poor eyesight. He wanted to be a surveyor, which he did for about a year. That didn't work out. Then he wanted to travel, so he signed up for a boat to China. He got so sick he almost died of scurvy. Then he got interested in scientific farming, which was all the rage at the time, but he couldn't make a living at it, so he took a break. His father gave him some money, and he went off with his brother and a friend to tour Europe. And it was there that he actually saw the first public park in outside of Liverpool. And he came back and he tried being a writer and founding several magazines. And none of this was working out well for him until people found out that he had some experience with drainage. And they needed somebody to help clear the land for Central Park, which was proposed and laid out but was not designed. And that was his big break.
Haley, let's talk a minute or two about the impact of how this comes into Massachusetts and why you all wanted to get involved.
Well, we've been supporting documentary filmmaking for ever since the founding of our organization 40 years ago, and certainly the story of Olmsted is incredibly relevant to Massachusetts, in addition to the country at large, and there are several. You know, there are several areas and campuses and parks, even just within the Pioneer Valley, that have the Olmsted stamp. But I think that what Larry was saying about the democratic ideals and the sort of the zeal to use space to create civic opportunities for the population at large, that made Olmsted a very appealing character from our perspective as a humanist.
And his legacy today, do you think, Larry, is what?
Yeah, you know, Olmsted's legacy is so broad. Maybe it's better to be specific. Just let's look in Massachusetts. He's responsible for the Emerald Necklace. But he was brought into Boston to work on the Back Bay Fens, which was an environmental reclamation project. It was sort of an area that kept flooding with sewage, and he figured out a way to turn it into a park, but also a way to flush out the system in Boston. So here he we think of him as a landscape architect, but he's really an engineer. I always think of him more as an urban planner, because what he's doing is he's creating systems. The reason that the Buffalo PBS station was interested in this project is because Olmsted created the first integrated and coordinated public park system in the country. But that's much more than a park. That's how people get around a city. That's how people use the spaces. That's where buildings are going to be placed. It involves everything from transportation to recreation to the economy, even to property taxes. That legacy spread around the country. Now we have park systems that Olmsted designed in Louisville and Rochester. I know he did parks in Albany. He did parks in several, much more than just Central Park and Prospect Park. In New York, he did Union Square. He did the Riverside Park. Wherever you look, he's sort of like Washington, you know. People want to claim him. You know, George Washington slept here. They also want to say Olmsted designed our park, even if he didn't. In Northampton, we have Look Park, which looks like an Olmsted park, because it has Olmstedian principles. What are they? That means that the natural lay of the land defines the landscape, but Olmsted was not afraid to manipulate it for his aesthetic ideal. It has serpentine parkways, pathways. It has hidden glens. It's got always has a water feature. So you look at the campuses that Olmsted had something to do with, which is Amherst, Smith, Mount Holyoke, and UMass here in the Pioneer Valley. The water features are what he is responsible for.
Well, it is all fascinating, and it's happening this Sunday. It's the world premiere of Frederick Law Olmsted Designing America at the Academy of Music Theater in Northampton at 4 o'clock on Sunday, April 13th. More information is available at our website, wamc.org/roundtable.
And Joe, this will be on PBS nationally on June 20th.
June 20th on PBS at 9 p.m. And again, more information, WAMC.org/roundtable. Larry Hott, Haley Wood, thanks so much for being here, and best of luck on Sunday. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, Joe.
You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.